Welcome everybody. Over the next few minutes, I'm sure many more people will be joining. And we're looking forward to having you all with us this evening. The speaker today will be speaking on mindfully handling difficult conversations. And our speaker is Pratibha Patel. Pratibha Ben, or Sister Pratibha, is based in Nairobi, but actually she spends a lot of her time traveling through the whole continent, not just simply looking after centers, but establishing centers. And she has been a pivotal force in inspiring people from all cultures and all backgrounds of society to be able to actually instill dignity into their own lives. And she's somebody who has always, I've known her since we were chatting the other day, and I discovered I've known her since I was five, four or five. Can you imagine? And she's been somebody who has always been an inspiration, not just in what she does or how she does it, but the fact that she takes a huge amount of interest in an individual and really believes in them and really believes in their personal dignity. And although she is based in Nairobi, she's also our UN representative for the United Nations Environmental Programme. And just last month, they had a number of conferences on the environment. And I know Sister Jenty was part of it, but I know that Sister Pratibha was the person who was playing a pivotal role in that too. So today's topic, handling difficult conversations. You know, it's hard enough to work with people, have a difficult conversation with someone you know. But when you're in a difficult situation and you have to handle a difficult conversation where cultural norms are different, where language is different, and yet to be able to meet somebody's heart and meet their dreams is quite a talent, and this is something Pratibha Ben has as an individual. So she's going to be sharing with us tonight, and she's going to be sharing on being assertive, holding your own, but having empathy and respect, keeping your reactions and your emotions under control, and being able to communicate constructively. And then finally, how to heighten the chances of turning something that could be a little sticky, a little difficult, into something incredibly positive and motivational. So, Sister Pratibha, I'm going to be handing over to you in just a moment. I want to let everybody know that there will be a chance to post your questions to her. There is a question and answer link, so send us your questions for Pratibha Ben. And after her talk in 40 minutes, I will be putting your questions to her and you'll get your answers. So, Pratibha Ben, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Arati. I was so surprised that Sister Arati knows me so well. I didn't realize that. We have spent time, but for many years we've had a gap in between. And so I was like surprised to know that how souls just not only know you, but they experienced you. Yes, mindfully conversing. And so when I heard this, I was quite sort of, contemplating on this, where we talk about mindfulness. It's a very, very important word nowadays. But I would also add not only mindfulness, but also with heart. And that's how I've been working. Ever since I started understanding life, I have done everything from my heart. Even sweeping the room or hoovering the room, it's from my heart. And giving a talk, giving courses, talking to someone, spending time, I just do it from my heart. So there are two different ways. One is if I want to do, then only I will take that responsibility. Secondly, whether I want to do it or not, I must do it. So when I must do it, there's no other way. So let me put my heart in there. And so my mind, my intellect, and my heart, and then do it. It gives a very beautiful outcome. So when I talk about mindfulness and conversation in the most difficult time, I'll start from, you know, a project we've been doing for last 2 years. It started from just Nairobi, where I live. That's my base. But from Nairobi, then it started going into other cities. And then it started going to neighboring countries. And then, of course, in Africa. And so last 2 years, I've been traveling nonstop before the COVID pandemic. And so I've been traveling so much, especially in Africa, taking this project across. And this project was known as Pause for Peace. So if you want mindfulness conversation, the very first thing I would say is pause. Sometimes we rush into conversations, we rush into actions, and the outcome is not favorable. Not favorable for myself and not also for others. And so let us pause. So in life, we've got three buttons. One is start button. The other one is stop button. But we've always neglected or not used the pause button. And so start, you start the day, you start your conversation, or either you stop. You stop the day or you stop your conversation. There are two different extremes here, to start and to stop. But in between, we have a lovely opportunity to pause. Pause doesn't mean stop. Pause doesn't mean end or disconnect or break. Pause simply means let's stop for a moment. Just for a moment and then start again. So if you're watching a movie or something and an unexpected call comes or a doorbell, you would just say, please put it on pause. I'm just coming. I don't want to stop it. So in life, or in the day, I need to start with that button. But in between, if I have a practice of pausing, then I can reflect. Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, whatever I'm thinking, so I went reverse, doing, saying, and thinking. But it's actually starting from thoughts to words to action and then to lifestyle. And so the very first thing is when I create thoughts, I create them in the mind. That is my space. I'm the master. I'm the creator of my thoughts. So let me start from there that I create positive, creative, powerful, pure, loving thoughts. And then it will penetrate into my words and my actions. But in case it is not from my side, but it's from the other side, somebody is becoming difficult with you, or somebody is not cooperative, then what do you do? So that's where I use my pause button. Instead of continuing, maybe that action or that creating relationship or conversing, let me pause. And pause doesn't mean that you ignore someone. Pause doesn't mean that you go away from there. But pause means just step within. And for the last 2 years, I've been to so many different areas, you wouldn't believe. So the last one I completed in a January, February was Somalia. It's a war-torn country, and I was there for some time, just a week, and I had lovely conversations with people. And from my side, I'm very peaceful, I'm very brave, I'm very positive. But on the other side, there is so many different notions. And so you sometimes wonder, am I going to get pulled into that pattern or do I need to stop somewhere? But instead of stopping, I was pausing. And the project I was traveling with was called Pause for Peace. We are from a meditation center and we give talks, we give inspirations, we give trainings on meditation, Raja Yoga meditation. It's a 7-day lesson, seven lessons for the meditation course. But the moment people hear seven lessons or 7 hours, they lose the patience. And they'll say, I can never meditate because it's seven, it's a lot of days or hours. I don't have time. So the straight reaction is, I don't have time. And in that, even if people have the ability and people have the desire, but they will just put themselves into that mode by saying no time. So we came up with this very interesting project where we asked people not to even take 7 hours or seven lessons. We just say, can you take 30 seconds? So first we talk to them very briefly. If somebody has 5 minutes, we explain in 5 minutes. And if somebody has an hour, we explain them in an hour's time. But we take them into an experience of silence, pausing. So if you're working in an office and it's a very stressful environment, very busy, and you do not even have a second, just go within yourself for 30 seconds. So you just step within, look for a quiet space, which we'll be doing towards the end of the program. And just be there in silence. And this silence is so rich, so effective, that is pausing. So mindfully conversing with difficult people or difficult situation, any conversation, just pause. And you would get such a beautiful, outcome. One time I was traveling in some part of Europe, and I was supposed to go from one country to the other, to the other, to the other. And some countries I was traveling by road, some by flights, and all that. But there were two countries in between where I did not get visas. They rejected my visas twice, in fact, three times. And so I had a gap of 2 weeks in between. So I went to this travel agent and I said, can you just move my dates? And now I need to leave earlier for my destination because I've got 2 weeks extra. And this travel agent said, if you change your dates, we'll have to issue another ticket, which is 750 euro. Listen to this. I said, no, 750 euro, I cannot afford it. It's not practical. So let me just see what I can do in these 2 weeks. So they said, if you want to go somewhere else, choose other destinations in Europe and we can change your flight and we could add two more destinations in 2 weeks. And that was cheaper. It was like, 250 euro. So I chose that. And so I had three other countries to travel to in 2 weeks. So I was now going to, leave this country where I was and I was going onward. I always have a thought that, you know, when people come to drop me to the airport, it's their courtesy, it's their generosity, and thank you very much. And so I would just, you know, tell them, drop me, do not park your car, and just drop me. And so this person dropped me, and I went into the immigrations. When I checked my luggage in and everything, I went to the immigrations, and guess what? The immigration officer was extremely firm, extremely firm. And he said, where are your visas? I want to see your visa. So I showed them the Schengen visa. And he says, no, this doesn't work. You're not flying out now in this flight. Go back to the city, pay your penalty, your fine, book another flight, and then you can go on the next flight. And I knew next flight means 750 euro. But this flight meant 250 euro. And I was so firm. And I was trying to explain him. And I used the language which actually triggered his anger. I used the language saying, brother, please listen to me. And he was like, I am not your brother. He was an immigration officer, of course. And so I knew there was no other way of conversing. He was quite angry and stern. Maybe he was doing his work, mind you. So I just kept quiet for a moment. I even offered, of course, before that I'll pay the penalty here at the airport and go on this flight. He says, no, you have to go back into the city. And what happened? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're fine. We can hear you.
All right. Okay, all right. So then I was just standing there. And guess what? I just created a beautiful, you know, harmony within myself. Because the outward conversation wasn't very much in favor. He was so angry, this immigration officer. I wanted to do something different. He wanted me to do something different. And so I just stepped within. I paused for a moment. When I paused for a moment and I just went within and I just connected with my inner self. And there was a thought which came to my mind. Ask for the chief immigration officer. And so I asked for the chief immigration officer. This just took less than 30 seconds or 1 minute. And he thought, why should I take the credit? Let me take the credit. So he says, all right, madam, just wait here for a moment. I'm coming. So he just rushed to the chief immigration officer's booth, and he presented my situation, and just very quietly, very softly, with a lot of modesty, he came to me and he looked at me, gave my passport, and he said, madam, sorry, the chief immigration officer says it's not your mistake, it's our people's carelessness, and so you can go. You can go on this flight and you can go today. I'm very sorry. At that point, if I want a beautiful conversation ended, I do not continue arguing by saying, you see, I told you, you didn't listen to me, I was correct. This I should not even prove. Silence will prove everything. And so I just smiled. I just said, thank you. And I went through. And I just thanked the universe so much. I thanked God so much that thank you, I could go on this flight. So I saved so much money. And so I was just analyzing. This person was doing his work. But he was so stressed or anxiety or anger, whatever you call, that I got into that, you know, vicious cycle of his attitude. And if I keep the same attitude, we're never going to have a conversation. Either it's going to be an argument or either it's going to be a fight of words or action. Whereas here, I actually, you know, went into that silence, the pausing. So I use my pause button. And when I use my pause button, you know, the energy, which is positive, just comes together. And it then gives you a thought, which just came to my mind, that asked for the chief immigration officer. And everything became so positive and so wonderful. So one is thought pattern, two is attitude, three is feelings, but also what is my state of mind? Is it anger or is it silence? Is it negative or is it positive? And so to have that lovely conversation, I need to create this pause. Second thing is, when I pause, you know, I am in absolute silence. I'm not creating any thoughts at that time. And so that silence helps me to create the harmony within myself. And where does that go? Is my heart, which is my emotions, and my logic, which is my thoughts and, you know, my mind and my intellect. So I harmonize these three things. My heart, that is my, you know, emotions, and my logic, which is my mind and my intellect. There's such a beautiful harmony between the three that whatever thoughts I create, the intellect respects by creating a very positive judgment. And whatever positive judgment I have those feelings and emotions. My feelings are not anger. My feelings are not hatred. My feelings are not negative, but my feelings are very pure. And the feelings which I generate is good wishes and pure feelings. Shubh bhavna, shubh kamna. And so good wishes and pure feelings helps me to make my conversation very effective, extremely effective. In that, you don't need to talk about good wishes and pure feelings. You don't need to wish anybody, but it's just which is clear, you know, created within yourself. So your inner state of mind is full of good wishes and pure feelings. And in that, you can converse, you know, very nicely. So you are maybe positive, but the other person right in front of you might be angry, might be, you know, negative, might be sad or weak, but your good wishes and pure feelings will give the strength to that soul, the strength to be positive, the strength to have respect, the strength to have patience. And so my conversation becomes very effective. Sometimes it's even words. Sometimes it's feelings, and sometimes it's thoughts. So it has to start from somewhere, my mind or my heart or my intellect. And so I create this pattern within myself, and I regularly use this pattern. But for example, you know, when I was on my way to the Horn of Africa, and I did not ever go to those countries because I didn't know someone, or sometimes it was war-torn, or sometimes it had no security. A lot of things were there. So the moment I planned that I'm traveling this, you know, seven countries or six countries, a lot of people kept on telling me, you shouldn't go. You're alone. You are not doing right. It's very dangerous. You don't know anyone there. So it was like constant feedback of discouragement that you should not go. It wasn't even discouragement because people love you, people respect you. So they are trying to take care of you. It's nothing negative about it. It's just taking care. But when you have been given a role and a responsibility that you should do this much and achieve this much, the person who gave you that, either it's your senior, either it's God, either it's situation, they know that there is the ability, and that's why they've given you the responsibility. And so take it on you. So I told myself and I told the others, I'm just going for the visas. If I get the visas, then I'll plan. But if I don't get the visas, that's fine. It's okay. So please don't worry. But thank you for the care, the concern. So, one, when somebody is telling you something which is out of love and respect, but not something which is going to encourage you to do something, but put you behind or take your spirit away, you need to just create a tact which keeps that respect for the opposite person and keep respect for yourself that you have the ability to do it. So do not worry. And so in that way, I just told myself, just go for the visas. If you get the visa, that means you're going, not to worry. But if there's any complications, then maybe you're not going. And guess what? Seven countries, two countries told me we will give you an arrival. But the others said at least 14 working days each. 14 working days. I didn't even have 14 days anyway for the whole thing. And so I worked everything out. I kept all the documents ready. And with a very positive energy, I started my work for the visa. You wouldn't even believe there was so much cooperation from the offices, the embassies, the high commissions, that I got all my visas. And I got them. It's not that I didn't get them. And so I knew that the universe is telling me, God is telling me, you're ready for this trip. Go, go. And so now prepare the second thing, that is your state of mind. So now, first I told you about pausing. When we do conversation, I pause. Even creating thoughts for yourself, pause in between. Do not just let your thoughts be created just like that. But every moment, just pause for a while, and it will be like, it will, your thoughts will concentrate or focus. It will be quality thoughts rather than just quantity thoughts. The other thing is feelings. Pause and then feelings, which is good wishes and pure feelings. Now, third thing I kept on mentioning was about silence. And so, how do I do that silence? Which is very interesting. In our spiritual language, we use the word soul consciousness, consciousness of the soul. So I am not this body of chemicals and particles, but I am a soul. The moment you become soul conscious, you forget that you're a male or a female, young or old, you can speak the language or you cannot speak the language. No barriers are created. And soul consciousness is such a beautiful state of mind where you will connect to your innate values. Innate values is loveful, peaceful, knowledgeful. And so,
hi, I think your video's just been turned off. That's it, you're back.
all right.
You're back.
Has it
Thank you.
come? All right, okay. Sorry, my traffic control came up. And so, soul consciousness is a very beautiful practice. And so, when you step within, Look for a quiet space within yourself and then connect to your inner consciousness. Who am I? I'm not this physical body of chemicals and particles, flesh and blood. Otherwise, you will remember you're a young lady, or you're a woman, or you're just limited. You can't do much. You're not educated. You don't speak the language. So I'll give you a language, example. The first time I went to Mozambique, and I was supposed to start a center there, Brahma Kumari's center. So we were three of us, three sisters, myself, Samantha, and Urvashi from Nairobi. So we were three of us. And so we designed a little talk in the center. And guess what? It was a furnished house, an apartment on the 10th floor. But what was interesting is that one of our students decided that this is going to be the first talk in the Maputo Center. So let me give in the newspaper. So they were generous enough to give it in the newspaper. And we definitely did not cater for that publicity. But somebody sweet enough thought that let many people take benefit. And so I can't sit and argue with this person and say, why did you give in the newspaper? They had such a lovely feeling that this message to go, it should go to a lot of people. So now, rather than arguing with this person, I just say thank you so much, but let me cater on the other side for people to come and sit. We didn't have chairs. We had chairs, but like, dining table chairs, like six or so. And we at least would cater for 30, 40 people in that lounge. So in the afternoon, the day I had this talk, in the afternoon, I went with someone to buy some chairs, plastic chairs, and I brought them by 5:30. 6 o'clock was going to start the talk, but we'll expect people to come. And so we quickly cleaned the chairs and set it up in the lounge. So about, 25:30 or something like that, and a few other chairs. So it's like 40 people. And the room started filling up. But you won't believe, I did not know who is going to translate from English to Portuguese. At that time, the only words I could speak was muito obrigada. Thank you very much. That's it. Nothing more than that. And so how am I going to do the talk? And a lot of people in those days did not speak English. Now many people speak English because there's a lot of coming and going of people and traveling. But that time, the country had just come out of the war. And so they were just conversing and communicating in Portuguese. So the sisters asked me, what do you think? Who will translate? I said, it's okay. It's okay. Let's not give some mind to that. We'll organize something. And people started coming in. And the room started filling up. And I think if I'm not wrong, if I don't remember well or what, the room was full with at least 30 people. And I just went in front and I welcome everybody. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't speak Portuguese. Is there anybody who can offer me to translate, if somebody can translate? A young gentleman got up. And he said, I'll translate. So he started translating. But many people speak English, but to translate straight away is not very easy. But from the gathering, from the room who had come, a young lady again offered and said, I could also do it. And she was very good in translation. So she started helping me in translating. And we had a lovely, lovely evening that day. Even till today, the first two souls who offered to translate are the students of the Brahma Kumaris. Isn't that interesting? And so sometimes we, plan a lot and we decide a lot. We make decisions, we plan. To plan is not wrong. to make decisions is not wrong, but what is the state of your mind? Is it language, or is it the original message you want to give to people? Is it language, or is it the experience you want to give to people? And so if I choose the other side, that I want to give the souls an experience rather than just understanding it, you wouldn't even believe that it's more effective. In fact, even if you speak the same language like English or Hindi or whatever the language is, you think people don't have a misunderstanding? We have misunderstanding in the same language also. So where does that misunderstanding come from? From consciousness. What state of mind am I? What consciousness do I have? If I have limited consciousness, then of course my conversation is not going to be effective. But even if I don't speak that language so much, but my consciousness is positive, it's like, you know, little babies, they can't speak full sentence, but their consciousness is so innocent that the opposite person, whether the mother, father, or anybody in the family, would understand that child as clear as anything. And so it's not language which is an issue. It is my consciousness which is very effective. And so let us work on the consciousness so that I'm mindful and I'm positive in having a good conversation with maybe my own state of mind or maybe the other person's state of mind. We can't put a blame on anyone, but let us take responsibility. And in that responsibility, I always remember Dadi Janki saying responsibility doesn't mean that there's any favoritism or, you know, skillfulness, that because you know, that's why you got responsibility, and because you don't know, that's why you're not being given the responsibility. Response and ability. If you have a positive response, then the ability will automatically start coming. And in that way, you know, you would have a wonderful conversation, not only conversation which is heart to heart, but a conversation which is soul to soul. Why I'm so saying soul to soul is the mind, the intellect, and the tendency, the personality traits are hidden into that soul. And so heart is just a place or a feeling which is created in a form of emotions, but it all starts from the soul, the mind, the intellect, and the personality traits. So when I become soul conscious, I actually, you know, have a wonderful way of conversing with people. So maybe the opposite person is body conscious, but you are soul conscious, it will still be very effective. So thank you very much. I've taken a couple of extra minutes, but I will now open the floor for the questions.
Actually, Pratibha, then would you mind doing a short meditation, just a couple of minutes? And then I'll put the questions to you.
Sure. So if you can all sit up straight and just relax wherever you are. Relax, and with your mind and intellect, just step within. Look for a quiet space within yourself and just be there. Just feel the calmness within, the coolness. The silence. Listen to this silence. It's so effective. More effective than words. this inner silence is so soothing. It helps me to calm my mind. And it's so soothing that it helps me to create positive thoughts. I become the master of my mind. I'm the creator. I create such thoughts, which then creates such conversation, which is soothing to others also. It heals others. It heals me too. And so it's like such a lovely relationship. That is mindfulness. Even the harshest person in front of me, with my inner true silence, which then creates a peaceful state of mind and a loveful state of mind, helps others to carry. I carry them in my heart. That is real conversation from my heart. I mean it. Whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever I think, I mean it. It's very meaningful. I don't just think or say or do something for the sake of doing it. But I do it from my heart. I put my heart and my soul in it. And I give life to it. And this creates a beautiful relationship, which I end up with a lovely conversation. That conversation is so sweet and so meaningful. It helps me to heal myself and others. And so, let me take care of my consciousness. I'm not this physical body of chemicals and particles. I am a soul. I am a soul, a peaceful being, a loveful being, and a pure being, situated in the center of the forehead. I am the master, and I help others to be the masters too. Can you just visualize the world where everyone is their own master? Everything is so correct and so pure and peaceful that it's a perfect world, a balanced world. Let us create that perfect world, that balanced world, and live happily, peacefully, united, and stress-free. Just be a peaceful being. Om Shanti.
Thank you very, very much. Let me post the questions to you. You've got a dozen already come through the door for you straight away. So the first one is, how do you practically apply a pause in a difficult conversation at work or anywhere else, actually, How would you introduce it? You're in the conversation and you need to create a pause. How do you introduce it?
When you start a meeting or a conversation, you don't even need to tell people to do that. But if you would like to, if you're conducting the meeting, then we could just say, can we pause every 15 minutes and we'll just sit for 30 seconds in silence? Something you could design. But otherwise, you don't need to even tell people that. It's interesting. You're just right in the middle of the conversation. People are talking, and just 30 seconds, like when I'm talking to you now, I can even pause within. It's something which is just a state of mind. Even if you're talking with your words, but your mind is very calm and silent. And so in that way, but even for example, like I was listening to Sister Aarti now, I had a pause. And so every now and then, you go within and you go out, step out, go within and step out. And in that way, you will create that pause, not only in conversation, first it's in thoughts, in your mind. And then, of course, you could do it in your conversation. That would be lovely. And in action, we do that. If you're in the kitchen or if you're in the office and you're talking to someone, you would just say, let's just stop for a moment. And in that way, you can create pause, which helps me to energize every now and then. It's like a tortoise, A tortoise has the sense that my organs are so soft and delicate that nature gave me a shell to go in and out. And so when the tortoise needs to work, look for food, eat, just goes out and finish that task, go back into safety. So similarly, I use my mind and my intellect, step out, work, converse, do what you need to do, and step in again into your silence. And in that way, once you start doing it for yourself, then others will also get it very clearly, and they will also practice. But it has to start from the self.
Thank you. The next question is, in this cl current climate, how do you project inner calm and a positive state over video conferencing when dealing with difficult colleagues at work?
All right, I know. Science has given us this facility, and it's doing its work. In this 8 or 9 months, I think the world has used this to the most highest, what you call, to the highest ability, I would say. So there's a balance between science, silence, and spirituality. So science has its own facility, and silence, as I just mentioned, has its own effect. But in between, I need is spirituality. What is spirituality? Spirituality is that I am not conscious of I'm talking to a screen or I'm talking through a Zoom call, but I, the soul, is talking to another soul brother or another soul sister. That is spirituality. And so this little, box should not come in between me and you. It's only that I am conscious of who I am, and I am conscious of who you are, and I, the soul, connect with the souls. And in that way, it's very effective, and that will help. The opposite person, they want to express, they want to talk, they want to converse, they want to give suggestions. you will give them space. They will receive the space. And in that space, whatever we want to share, we must share. But your heart has to be very clean and clear. Not that you hold grudge or you hold don't taint your heart. It should be so pure, and then say whatever you need to say. Even if something is wrong, you could say it's wrong. And, it will go through. The message will go through. And whatever the decisions are, we in the Brahma Kumaris always learn a lesson. Give suggestions as a master and accept it as a child. And so I have two personalities. I'm the leader or a master, and I'm a child. So it's not I that ego, but I am a master. So I suggest, and then detach. When you detach, you're a little child. And whatever is being taken decision, just respect it. It's very important. And you will see it will be very effective. So when you do that, then the opposite person is also going to practice that slowly. Don't expect them to do it straight away. When our expectations are very high, that's when there is clash and problems in our conversation. But let us have, whatever little they accept, just appreciate. Appreciating is very important. In fact, not only for others, even for the self, whatever you could manage, appreciate yourself. And you will see next time yourself is going to work hard and achieve more and get better.
Thank you. While you take your next pause, let me ask you the next question. What mm-hmm. should one do when having to work with aggressive people like a bully boss?
Yeah. So that person is bully boss and that person is aggressive. But what is your state of mind? It's very important. Are you also contributing to their bulliness? Because if you allow, then they're going to bully you. But if you don't allow, they will not bully you. So you can't change that person. But you can definitely change your attitude. And when you change your attitude, that person automatically is going to start responding to your attitude rather than, bullying. So there I need to be patient, then I need to be a little calm. And so we can work on ourselves rather than others. And you will see what is happening. But when a person is a bully or a boss, and you see them with that same consciousness, you're contributing towards their consciousness. You're not helping them to change their consciousness. So we can't do much for others. We can do something for ourselves. And through myself, I can change others.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's challenging. I understand. It's challenging. It's not easy. But don't you think it's easier than just handling a bully boss?
Thank you. Next question. How do you handle a conversation with someone who doesn't have the same moral values as you about a life choice that you have made? How do you prevent it turning into an argument? Another question similar to this is, how do you peacefully defend yourself in a conversation with a family member who doesn't agree with your life decision?
I have tried this. I've tried this myself, that whenever we talk to someone and we know that it's going to go into argument, before I had the habit to prove, to prove means this is correct. This is the way. I know it. Even I know it, it is, to be very honest, it is the way. But you can't prove it like that. So what I started practicing was, the moment that conversation is going to go into the argument mode, I just stop. At that point, I stop. I just live it. And I'll say, we'll talk about it later. And give some space. It's called the breathing space. Breathe for yourself and let others breathe. And then you come back with a state of mind which is a little ready and try. You will give them space to think and you will also have space to think. And maybe it's not effective 100%, but it is effective, that I've seen. I'll give you one example. You know, sometimes when you're trying to remember something, like you've spent money and you can't remember where you paid this amount of money, you're trying to tally your, you know, balance sheet or whatever, and you can't remember, you can't sit on it. If you sit on it, it becomes so stubborn that it will never come to your mind. So you just have to let that thing stay, you know, on a side, and you go and do something else. It's diversion. You just divert yourself. And then suddenly I came. It wasn't a very big amount, but it was a big amount. You know, I had asked someone to pay this bill, and I forgot to add it in my accounts. So let's take an example. It was $500, you know, dollars or something. And I couldn't remember that. And I sat there day and night in front of those papers and that book. And everything was just like, you know, I couldn't remember. So I closed that book down. I just put it aside for a while. And I started, you know, doing something else. Interesting, you know, it's diversion, that figure, that amount popped into my mind. I don't know, subconscious mind or superconscious mind. And I remembered that I had asked this person to pay the bill and I forgot to write it down. And everything came in, you know, its place. So that is just a figure, an amount, a memory. But similarly, a conversation is also the same effect. If you sit and try and explain your child or your wife or your husband something, they do not understand. So don't carry on and on and on. It's like, you know, you get hurt somewhere and you keep on getting hurt and hurt and hurt. It's not going to heal. Yeah. So similarly, just go away from that conversation for a little while, maybe an hour or two, maybe half a day, maybe talk about it tomorrow. After a while, when the person is ready, and you will see it will be very effective. So aggressiveness goes away and acceptance comes.
Wow, thank you. I'm going to possibly have this as the final question. Yeah. So let me put this to you. I can't stop thinking negatively about a person who was very angry and furious at my last workplace. My first response was to become numb because I couldn't respond. And then when I spoke to other people, the managers, I wasn't able to get support because both myself and my colleague were very important in input in the particular task that was given. So ultimately, I separated myself and I decided to leave because it was impossible to cooperate with this person. Now I'm still trying and struggling to find work again. How do I prevent and act like this again? How can I keep calm and deal with a difficult colleague?
All right. So now you've already left that job. And you're away from that difficult colleague. So don't create another difficult colleague before even you look for a job. So first you need to clear your mind. Letting go is very important. Letting go, don't hold on to it. Practice letting go. In other words, cleaning yourself. cleansing yourself. And how can you do that? Is listen to nice motivational things, read something, contemplate something. So it's like, you know, a narrow bottle. I always give this example. There's a narrow bottle you want to clean. You can't reach the bottom of the bottle. And so what you do is you just put water, full force, a powerful splash of water, and let it keep on running and running. So it's reaching the bottom of the bottle, taking it out. At some point, you will feel the water is also very dirty. But then it pours out and pours out the dirt. The bottle becomes clean. The water becomes clean and everything is perfect. So you need an input of positive things, motivational things, good things. You know, listen to good things. Like now you've been listening to this motivation. And that will help you to take that fear or that, you know, impurity which is already there, and then clear everything out and just give light to your situation. That now you're looking for a job that is going to be a perfect, beautiful job. Even if I have to work hard, or even if I get little less pay, at that cost, let me have a peaceful, comfortable job. So compromise with something which is less important, you know, and then you will see something opening up for you, and it's going to be very promising. But if you hold on to a lot of things like, oh, my previous job was paying me so well, the working environment was so good, it was just the colleague. So rather than, you know, sometimes you have to weigh in such a manner that you compromise with some things and accept some things, and then you start afresh and don't hold on to that past experience in a bitter feeling, just a sweet feeling that was another experience I had. It's my treasure, and I'm not going to make the same mistake again, or I won't allow somebody else to make that mistake again. And carry on. So letting go is very important.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much, Sister Pratibha, for making the time. I know it's rather late where you are. You're ahead of us, and so time-wise, and so I know it's very late for you there. But thank you for making the time and sharing your insights and your personal experience. We've got lots of people emailing and in the chat or messaging that they've enjoyed it, they've taken inspiration, and actually it's prepared them for future conversations for sure. So thank you. Thank you everybody for sending in your questions. I'm very sorry we couldn't put all your questions to Sister Pratibha this evening, but hope you will join in the future. Sister Pratibha, once again, thank you very, very much.
Thank you and good night.